Last time on This Week in Geek, Vegeta had his sights squarely upon Mike the Birdman Dodd. Can maximum nerdosity win against the Prince of All Saiyans? Find out at thisweekingeek.net.
Hello, and welcome to a very special episode of The Prototype. Today, Jamie Johnston is joined by...
Mike the Birdman Dodd. Do you realize this is our 50th episode, technically?
Is it?
Yeah!
Huh.
Pretty fucking cool, huh?
Yeah, it is.
How are you?
Technically, we're in season 3 as well.
But still...
But it's cool. That's a nice little... Flagship milestone.
I'm rather surprised. I mean, not the fact that we've lasted 50
You're
episodes.
You're like, I never thought this Jamie guy would last that long.
I know, he's been this reliable, holy shit.
Asshole.
it's kind of cool, the fact that we've been able to talk about video games for the last 2 or 3 years on a weekly, bi-weekly, tri-weekly, whatever the hell we have time, eekly. Time on this show, and
to do weekly now.
Yeah, weekly, which is good. Yeah, I mean, typically we record Mondays at 3. I mean, you're hearing this on Tuesday because yesterday I posted an interview I did with Victor Lucas for the Electric Playground. But still, the fact that we are coming out on Mondays and recording this is pretty exciting stuff, and I think this has made me a better gamer overall.
Me forcing you to play games hardcore, like.
Well, yeah. I mean, since I'm only really reviewing games for RAD that are new or ones that I genuinely give a shit about, it's nice to be able to go back and play shit that I actually want to play for the show or to just try out because I never had a chance to, sort of thing.
Or I bring them up and you're like, oh my god, why have I never played this?
Exactly. Like, man, this is awesome. Why didn't you tell me, sort of thing. So, yeah, I mean, 50 episodes. Obviously, here's the 50 more.
I wish I had one of those little, like, birthday horn things.
I would insert a sound effect here, but you know what? I'm not going to do that.
Laziness.
I know, right? So, I guess the question, as we often do, what have you been playing?
Well, I think as of last episode, I still am playing Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate on the 3DS. I wish I had gave this a chance before it launched when we did get them and we're like, it's Monster Hunter, we got review copies,
whatever.
Now I'm kind of like, damn, I've got 140-ish hours on this game and I haven't done all the content in it yet. My hand, like, the tendons and muscles in it physically have been, like, in a lot of pain from playing it too much. I did not realize how much the 3DS is not exactly ergonomically perfect to play for 18 hours straight at a time. That being said, who the hell does that other than me? Yeah. What else have I been playing? Final Fantasy XIV's new patch is actually going to be coming out the day that we're releasing this episode. It's going to have the Golden Saucer, so mini games, and Triple Triad from Final Fantasy VIII, the card game, is going to be added. I am super excited for that. Other than that, I haven't really been playing anything other than Monster Hunter. I literally eat, sleep, and breathe this game right now.
You already know what I've been playing. You all already know.
Oh boy.
Can you guess what it is, folks? Can you?
It's let's see. No, I can't guess. I really can't.
Call of Duty Advanced Warfare 10th Prestige as of this weekend. Thank you, Double XP Weekend and Sledgehammer Games. I've been playing that. Also put a number of hours into Evolve. I'm going to put some more hours into it before I make my final review of it. I'm hopefully by the end of the week, if not sooner. But
I think you need to find some friends to play it with.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, in short, my review for Evolve is it's got a lot of the core concept is really friggin' cool. And it's made by the same people who made Left 4 Dead, the ultimate four-player co-op game, in essence. Fuck Destiny. It's all about Left 4 Dead. It should be awesome, and in essence, it's really not. It's tedious, it's repetitious. I find one side's having fun, but both aren't. Like, because four of you play the hunters, and one of you plays the monster, and if one person sucks, you all suck. It's just, I don't know. And I had a hell of a time trying to find a match for this online. I got into maybe three games over the course of like 2 hours. I think the community for this game is going to drop off huge. I was actually watching Angry Joe's review of this, and he said something very, very similar. I don't see this game lasting, and I really think that kind of sucks, because this game should be awesome. I mean, maybe if it shipped with more modes and gave you a half-decent campaign. I mean, there is something called evacuation, where you have to evacuate this planet full of survivors and shit. But it's like, you can beat that in under an hour, and you get like a 30-second cutscene. And if that's the reward for beating the quote-unquote single-player campaign, fuck you. Fuck you so hard.
See, and that's why I said maybe try playing it with friends, because maybe it'll bolster the amount of fun you have, but at the same time,
it's a shallow experience.
I haven't heard, like, for all the hype that we had for the game, it's kind of not there.
I mean,
I haven't actually played it. I'm just going from your opinion and other people's opinions that I know that have played it within my community. And it's just, it's like, it's fun, but it's not like super crazy amazing like we thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I mean, my friend Shannon, my friend Sean's girlfriend, had this game really hyped up for me, and I was really expecting something really awesome, because I'd kind of kept an eye on it at arm's length through a lot of the previews and a lot of the media for it, thinking, all right, that looks kind of cool, this could be really awesome. And occasionally, at times, it can feel like a real hunt. And at other times, it's like, Jesus Christ, will you please come out of hiding so I can shoot you? And it's just, I don't know. Maybe, once again, I need the right people to play it with. But when you look at a multiplayer-only game, like, say, Titanfall, I didn't need people to make that fun. It just happened along the way. And even with Destiny, sure, I need people to do the strikes, but now, because of Bungie, you're automatically put into matchmaking, so you don't have to solo anymore. So, and you could beat things solo before, and it was still fun. With this one, I'm having trouble finding the fun.
But it's a forced multiplayer game that it's going to rely on the multiplayer in the community, and it's really hard to balance five specific people that are all random. That's the fault with the game, I would say, is like, if you can find five people that all have about the same skill level, I bet you the game is a friggin' blast to play. But it's the internet. You're not gonna find five people with the same skill level every match. So that's where it's gonna just be a little bit ridiculous, because the hunters are either gonna be stronger than the monster because they're working together and the monster person isn't very good, or the monster person is gonna be amazing and you're gonna have somebody, at least one person horrible on your team that allows them to just demolish you. So it's kind of unbalanced like that. I'm sure the actual mechanics and everything are balanced, because the team that built it, they put so many hours into it, they all got good at it. So it's one of those things, though. It may not be the best. I don't know, though.
Like, I'm going to try it again. I'm going to try and give it another solid 5-6 hours and see if I get more fun out of it. But at this point, I can't even recommend it, even at a discount. Maybe if it's like $10 on Steam, sure.
But, ooh, that's brutal.
Yeah, I'm not. Honestly, you'll have more fun playing Call of Duty Modern Warfare, because they update that game every couple weeks, and they give you new game modes for free, like Gun Game, which I love trolling people in right now. I'm such an asshole. Thank you, Kostef, for fucking that one. And
expect a full review on the website soon. Back to the episode!
Back to the episode. So anyway, yeah. Today, we're going to be talking about a system that launched 4 years ago. And we, I used to not give a shit about this system whatsoever. Now I very much do. That's the new Nintendo 3DS, or the 3DS as it was known way back in the day. So this system launched back in March of 2011. I got one of the first launch units for this thing. I had the Aqua Blue, which I very much miss to this very day. I lost that particular 3DS coming home from MAGFest 2012. I wonder if someone ever found it. Actually, I was actually really tempted to post my friend code on Reddit and say, hey, if you have this friend code, let me know who has it, because that's my old 3DS, and I want to know where it is. Because I'm pretty sure if I went back through my Facebook, I could find it. Because I know I posted it several times, but anyway. So the 3DS launch lineup was pretty friggin' anemic. In fact, it frankly sucked. Do you have a list of the games in front of you?
Of the launch games?
Yeah.
I have a list of all the games. Let me just sort it by the actual dates. March 27th, 2011. That's when it launched, right?
Yep. In North America.
Yes, North America's launch. Let's see here. Asphalt 3D, Bust a Move Universe, Combat of Giants, Dinosaurs, Lego Star Wars 3, Madden NFL, Nintendogs plus Cats. There's three different versions of that. Pilot Wings Resorts, Street Fighter 4 3D Edition.
Super That's Monkey the Ball, only one I cared about.
Samurai Warriors Chronicles, The Sims. Wow, this is literally, like, Street Fighter is maybe the only good game, and at that point, that would be a re-release.
Yeah.
Because it was on all the other consoles. That was a majorly shitty lineup.
Yeah, holy like, crap. It was
the Rayman 3D. Rayman 3D was probably decent.
The only game that was worth a damn, like you said, was Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade, or Super Street Fighter 3D, 4 3D, whatever. That was the only game I played for about 6 months. And it wasn't Ouch. Until they started getting more games like Star Fox in there, The Legend of Zelda, that the system kind of started to take into its own. In fact, when the Pokemon games came out, then people cared. But even then, right, you could play those.
Ocarina of Time 3D was June 19th. Everything else in June is just complete junk.
Yeah, like, that system didn't get good until, like, I'd say 2 years later, really. I mean, since 2000, actually, the last year has been really good for the, like, 3DS. With games like Kid Icarus Uprising, I'm pretty sure that was 2012. I'm actually going to look at my shelf here. I was going to get my wife to grab my games, but she's very much dead in the other room. Mario Kart 7, the Mario Parties, the Donkey Kong Country games. Let me see here. I really wish I could read this from here, because I really just can't. Mario and Luigi Dream Team. And Nintendo tried to make up for this by doing something called the Nintendo Ambassadors Program. And the Ambassadors Program was a way of saying thank you for supporting us. And if you bought a system, I think it was during that launch year, or that very, or like during a very narrow launch window, you got 10 NES and Virtual Boy, or not Virtual Boy, Game Boy Advance games for free. And a lot of them were really good. You got like the original Mario Brothers, you got Zelda 1 and 2, you got Super Mario Kart Super Circuit.
See, that was nice of them and all, but it still wasn't good games on the actual system.
Well, yeah, there wasn't anything seriously good first party
wasn't
that was
new
developed.
Stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best thing that came out during that time was probably Star Fox. Like, there was no killer app, truly.
They basically had Ocarina of Time, which was a remake. They had Star Fox 64, which was a remake. And then there was Kid Icarus Uprising, which was actually really fun if you had a Circle Pad Pro.
Yeah, if you didn't,
otherwise,
it was
you
annoying.
Were getting carpal tunnel. Yeah.
Now, hold that thought. Jamie, keep talking for me. I'm actually going to go grab my little 3D case of games so I can talk about this. And I'll tell you, the system has a lot of good stuff, and you can almost carry everything around with you, and you'll never be bored. So hold that thought, guys. I'll be back in just a minute.
There's also Super Mario 3D Land. That was a big one in November 2011. What else was there? There was Pokemon Rumble Blast. I don't think it was really that big when it came out, though. Harvest Moon 3D. Everybody loves Harvest Moon, and it's generally always on a handheld, so I guess that would be a good one. Sonic Generations, I hear, was actually the best version was on the 3DS. I never got to play that one, though. New Super Mario Bros. 2?
Please tell me you've been talking.
I was talking a little bit, but you might want to cut out a bit of the dead silence, because I didn't have anybody to bounce off of.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Jamie.
It's been like 10, 20 seconds.
All right. So, I'm back now. Let me open up my game case.
See, at Rhythm came out July 2012, and I never played it back then, and I wish I had of, because the new one's awesome.
So, games I keep in my... I got this from Club Nintendo. May it rest in peace. In my case, I have... Super Street Fighter 4. Project X Zone. Zelda...
Which I still want to play.
Zelda A Link Between Worlds. New Yoshi's Island. Mario & Luigi Dream Team.
Oh, that one's actually fun.
Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D, Animal Crossing, Kid Icarus, Super Mario Land 3D, Mario Party Island Tour, Mario Tennis, Dead or Alive Dimensions, Star Fox 64 3D, Mario Kart 7, TMNT Danger of the Ooze, which I thought was a surprisingly good game, Hidden Gem, dare I say. Resident Evil The Mercenaries is another one that I play. Although, I'm pretty sure Revelations came out on this system, actually.
It did. It actually came out originally with a spelling mistake, and they recalled them, so anybody that actually got the one with the spelling mistake, they are a collectible.
What was the spelling mistake?
I believe they forgot an E, or they had a couple letters were mixed around on the actual case for Revelations, the actual word Revelations. It was messed up, and they had printed it, and they recalled them.
Wow, I'm surprised no one fucking caught that.
I was working at EB at the time, and it was like, huh, this doesn't look right. So people that picked up their pre-orders are just like, huh, because, like... Resident Evil fans are usually, like, collectors of Resident Evil stuff, so whenever they found out, they're like, no, you're not recalling mine, I want it.
Like, fuck y'all.
This, like, I want this because it's going to be rare.
Oh, another good series that was on the 3DS was the Professor Layton series.
And see, I've never played that series, but I've always heard really good things.
They're very good. It's not exactly... my sort of thing, because I'm not super in the puzzle games, but I do appreciate it is for what it does.
Are they similar to the Phoenix Wrights?
Yes.
See, I like Phoenix Wright. It's a lot of fun.
Although these ones are a little bit more, here's a logic puzzle, figure it out.
Oh.
Although you can buy hints and stuff, if I remember correctly.
With microtransactions? $1, no. $1, $1.
If Nintendo was a complete asswipe, but they're fortunately not. The Lego City game I actually really enjoyed for it. Lego City Undercover. But yeah, I mean...
we've gone crazily all over the timeline here.
But yeah, I mean, the system I think really got strong in 2013.
And that's where I bought it, right near the start. Fire Emblem Awakening came out February 4th, and that's when I bought a 3DS just to play that game, and it was the best decision ever. Very, very few times when I buy a console, I will buy it for a game, I'll play the shit out of it, I'll stop, and then I'll be like, 3 months down the road, be like, there's dust all over this. I'm looking at you, Wii U. Because I'm just like, whatever. But Fire Emblem Awakening, I played for probably a month straight.
Did I sell you that one? Loved it.
No, I picked that up. My buddy was still in university up at up north. Where was it up north? Forget it. What university is that up north? You know.
Nipissing?
Yes.
Because I'm thinking I should have Fire Emblem Awakened. In fact, I'm almost 99% sure that I should. I just don't see it on my shelves.
When I went up there, he already had his 3DS, and he's like, I'm going to go buy this. And I'm like, I really, really, really want to play that as well. And he's like, well, I can let you borrow my 3DS after I'm done playing it. And I'm just like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to bite the bullet. So when we were up there, I went and bought a 3DS. I believe I got Star Fox with it for a promotion, and I bought Fire Emblem to go with it as well. And it was like the best thing, like experience for a long friggin' time. And I didn't do much up there other than play that game. And we were supposed to be partying and having fun. I mean, I was having fun, but I wasn't partying and drinking much. I was just sitting there on the 3DS. And yeah, that was February 4th, 2013. So that was just the start. I mean, only one game had come out before it, I believe. Let's see, there was Dino Pets 3D and 3D Game Collection in January and February 4th. Or wait, no. Just in January. Yeah, so it was the second game of the year, and it was definitely worth me buying the console for. 2013 is where stuff started to pick up. What else did they get here? Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate. I mean, I didn't know about it back then, but I'm sure the Monster Hunter fans were probably happy.
I had a lot of friends of mine that were playing that. I mean, if you went to a convention, I remember a lot of people playing that and Pokemon.
Well, it's funny because, like, I never really knew about the Monster Hunter community until I joined it here. Like, I'm part of the community, a gaming community, and when Monster Hunter 4 came out, no one said anything about them getting it until, like, one of my buddies was just like, hey, I remember you said that you got a review copy, want to play it with me? And I was like, okay. And then people kept joining our TeamSpeak channel, and I was just like, okay, this is getting really annoying. I'm going to make a Monster Hunter-specific TeamSpeak channel. Soon as I did that, I just had tons of people coming in. And I was like, this is for Monster Hunter 4. Like, we're trying to fight dragons and shit, so please be quiet. And they're like, no, we got Monster Hunter 4. We want to play with you. And I'm like, what the f-? And it's like, I find out that all these people that I had no idea ever played it, they've been, like, longtime fans of the entire series. And then I was just, like, introduced to this giant community of different people that play Monster Hunter. And it's weird because Monster Hunter is a fairly difficult series. I consider it close to Dark Souls in the combat style being difficult, and everyone online since Monster Hunter 4 here on the 3DS allows you to have online lobbies to just have people join your game and help you hunt monsters. Nobody seems to be bad at the game. Like, it's very rare to have that in any video game where you just every random person that shows up is actually good at it when it's a hard game like Dark Souls. So it's very, very interesting how the 3DS has kind of introduced me into that stuff. Anyway, continuing on here, Pokemon Mystery Dungeon. Pokemon games always sell well, but these side ones, I never really know.
They're inconsistent at best.
Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon came out a week after Monster Hunter there, so that was probably a really good month for sales. Shin Megami Tensei, I know there's a big community around those games. I've never actually played them, but
they're very good.
Very good. They're made by Atlus, and I believe Atlus/Nippon Ichi Software for a lot of them. And everything by Nippon Ichi Software I enjoy. It's very anime kind of inspired, usually funny games or just really good RPGs. Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D came out in, looks like May. Yeah, so it was the month after. So like Animal Crossing New Leaf came out just after that as well in June. So they literally just kept dropping one big release every month pretty much in this year, in 2013. Project X Zone was a niche market, but I still want to play it. Another Shin Megami Tensei. Mario and Luigi Dream Team was in August. So yeah, once again, another big one for that month. They're just like, hey, big first party title every single month in this year. And I don't know if they actually decided to do it that way or just kind of happened that way. Looks like September is the only one without something really huge. But in October, they dropped Rune Factory 4, Pokemon X and Y, Skylanders Swap Force. Like, that, right there, that makes up for having a dry month, right?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, overall, the 3DS has been fairly consistent outside of its first year, year and a half. And I don't know, it's just, it's one of those systems, when you find a game that you really, really, really like, you often don't let it go. You know what I mean? Like, it often stays in your system. Actually, a lot of my games are actually download, because I get a lot of digital codes for my stuff. So I've got stuff like that Fantasy Life, that JRPG with the jobs and shit.
Bravely Default?
Yeah, I think I sold that to you, actually. I'm pretty sure I did.
Yeah, because, I did the review on it.
Yeah, it wasn't my cup of tea. But yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of other things. I download a lot of virtual console software for this. I've got all the Mega Mans that I can squeeze onto it right now. I've got Mega Man 1 through 6.
Did you ever get around to actually playing Mighty Gunvolt?
No, I did not, unfortunately.
Well, Mighty Gunvolt was the sub game. It was Azure Striker Gunvolt. It's basically, it's inspired by Mega Man, so I think you really should try it. I think it's only like $20.
I'll have to check it out.
At some point, man. It definitely worth your time as a Mega Man fan. Yeah, I mean, like, we can go through games literally all day, but we may as well, like, pick out the ones that are, like, our favorites. We can talk about them. And then after that, I think we should actually get into the bad things about 3DS.
Okay. 'Cause
there are bad things, but let's start with, like, our favorite games on it. I would say my favorite still to this day is Fire Emblem Awakening. That game was just way too good. Like, it was amazing. Like, every little detail about it, between the extra stuff that they added in for, compared to the rest of the games in the series. Like, it was the newest game, but they added in a ton of different content, between having children, the marriage system, having the abilities carry over specifically on how you did that. What else did they add? Like, there was just tons and tons of stuff. The Pokemon X and Y games are probably my second favorite. It re-livened Pokemon as a series for a lot of people. Like, both you and I hadn't played since, like, well, you were, like, Yellow era. Mine was, like, the Silver Gold. So, and I know a lot of people had not played Pokemon since then. And it was just like, holy crap, we want to play Pokemon again. And it was the first 3D, like, full 3D version of Pokemon, right? Mm-hmm. What other game? Oh, Fiat Rhythm Curtain Call. Final Fantasy, it's a rhythm-based, it's basically if you like mashed up Guitar Hero with Final Fantasy, and it was all tapping with the stylus and moving with the stylus. It is a very, very good game, very unique. You'll spend a lot of hours on it, and if you love the Final Fantasy and Square Enix based music as much as I do, throughout every series. They even have down DLC for games that aren't Final Fantasy, but like Chrono Trigger, etc. So it's a very good experience if you like listening to those songs, and then you can actually play a mini game with it. I'm surprised you didn't try it, to be honest.
Yeah.
those would definitely be my like top three games on the console, I think.
Top,
what would yours?
Top three, at the top, without a doubt, Super Smash Brothers for 3DS, without a doubt. I actually just spent a shit ton of time with that game, like, literally in the last week. Because when I got my new 3DS, I tried to transfer all my data over. And, of course, because, you know, God hates me, all my data got reset. So I had to unlock all the characters again, which took me at least a good, like, day just of just beating the crap out of people to do. So yeah, definitely Smash Brothers is my number one. My second one would be, and this is only because of the new 3DS XL, because the 3D works amazing now. Star Fox, and that was one of my favorite games on the N64, so no huge surprise there, I guess I should really say. And then my third one would be Super Street Fighter 4 3D Edition. You're probably noticing a bit of a trend here.
You and your Street Fighter.
I love fighting games. And to me, having it portable, having a competitive fighter portable, that's really something to me. If I had to give an honorable mention, I'm actually going to say TMNT Danger of the Ooze. It's a game that came out late summer last year. It's really good, and on the new 3DS, I think it looks even better. Don't believe what the reviews tell you about it. Give it a try. That's how much fun I had with it.
I played it when I was over at your place, because we were comparing the new 3DS versus the old 3DS. So I had mine there and your new 3DS. We popped the game in and out between the two consoles to see the difference between the 3D motion tracking. And with the original 3DS, it's kind of, you have to be at that sweet spot for the 3D to look good. And on that game, they did the 3D very well. Like, it makes everything about it 3D, not just like little gimmicky things coming at the screen. It's the entire level expands from it. It's amazing how they did that. But on the new 3DS, it did not matter where I was. Like, that eye tracking that they boast, it's actually that good. Like, I had no issues, because I actually started with the new 3DS, and I was like, wow, this 3D is really good. And then I put it into my console, and I'm like, oh my god, I can't look at it. My eyes, I can't find the sweet spot. Like, it was horrible. So, yeah, the new 3DS's motion tracking, eye tracking, is really good. And I haven't looked at any of the reviews of that game, but it's like a Metroidvania style game. So, but it's Ninja Turtles, so I don't know why people would give it such a bad review.
I think it's because people were maybe expecting a little more out of it. They're like, it has a difficulty curve where for kids it's going to be a little too hard, and yeah, for people like us it'll be maybe a little too easy. I think it was at just the right. It's a game you don't have to put a crap ton of thought into, but you can't exactly just sleepwalk through it either.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be probably be the best way to describe it. Sorry, I got something in my eye, and it's really, really bothering me.
I think it really just comes down to every reviewer in the world will always compare any Turtles game to Turtles in Time, and it will never live up.
Which they should just... You know what? If they could do a remake of that specifically for a portable system, I'd kind of wonder if it would be better than what we got with TMNT Reshelled. Although, that being said, I didn't mind Reshelled upon playing it again last year.
But you, sir, have lost all credibility.
I don't know. It's, you know what? It's Turtles on a next-gen system. When am I going to get that again?
I guess, but I'd still rather just pop in Turtles in Time, because it's just that much better than Reshelled was.
See, I would pay for a port of the original all day long.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't do that either. Like, everything that made the original so good was pretty much taken out of Reshelled, so it was like, why? Why would you even bother if you're going to do that? So, I don't know.
Anyway, moving on. You said 2 out of 3 of your favorites there.
No, I did all 3.
What was the third one?
I did Smash Brothers, I did Star Fox, and I did Street Fighter.
Oh, Star Fox, right. Okay. Yeah.
Turtles was my honorable mention.
See, Star Fox is one of my favorite games of all time. On the N64, I didn't really want to put it in my top 3 here, just because we know what we're getting with Star Fox. It's an amazing game, and, I mean, they did do a really good job of upgrading the graphics on it, though. Majora's Mask came out very recently. I haven't got to see it or play it or anything, but I have a buddy who has been playing it.
It's and he really said, good. I'm glad I waited.
He said it was really good, but they also like dumbed down and made a lot of stuff easier, which kind of sucks because Majora's Mask had a very high difficulty, which made it a really good game.
Maybe that's why I'm liking it more, because it's easier.
Maybe, I don't know. See, we're always the opposite on that. I like having the game as hard as possible. That's why like games like Fire Emblem, Awakening, there's like an insanity mode where everybody pretty much dies all the time. And
see, I like to enjoy my games.
You have permadeath and all that, and I go with that mode, whereas you would go with the normal mode.
Exactly. I don't like throwing things through television sets.
But see, I don't. I'll get frustrated, but I'm just like, as soon as you overcome that challenge, you're just like, yes, I feel so good. And that's why I think I've been enjoying Monster Hunter, because I'm new to the Monster Hunter series, I haven't experienced this before, so I'm just being thrown in. Like, when I first started, I was thrown into it. I had no idea how to manipulate the system or, like, the movement and all that. So everything was just kind of kicking my ass, and I was playing with 3 other friends who had never played it. So we were all just, like, every time we overcome and beat something really hard, we were just like, oh, it just feels so good. Like, we worked together and we beat this. I don't know. Anyway, and the reason I did not get Smash Bros, like, and you love it, but I refuse to touch it, is because it destroys your 3DS.
Or it can. Yeah, I mean,
I know I would destroy it, though, because I would get that into it.
See, that's the thing. I mean, I'm a super competitive Smash Brothers player myself, and you really have to practice this whole new level of, like, Zen self-control to not tear the crap out of your, like, directional pad.
Which, you never really thought about how flimsy that directional pad could be until you play a game that's really hardcore on it, like like Smash Bros. Or even Monster Hunter 4 here. Street Fighter as well. Like, there's a lot of pressure that can be put onto that little freaking... Like, I have never taken one apart before, but I have a feeling it's probably not too much there. The reason I'm sounding like that is because I'm actually looking at mine right now and trying to move it around to see if it's got like a peg in there or what. But yeah, I mean, there was just tons and tons of reports of people destroying their thumbstick whenever Smash Bros. Came out. And even just the demo, people were destroying them.
Yeah, I was playing this when I was in Las Vegas a couple months ago. And I was actually kind of terrified, thinking, oh my god, I'm going to trash my 3DS stick with this, because I saw, like you said, so many people trashing it. But once again, it's that moment of calm.
If you learning that self-control.
If you can find that moment, you're good. But if you can't...
And that's why I ended up buying it for the Wii U, because I was like, you know what, I need to get this console at some point. And I may as well go with getting this game on there, because it'll be HD, yada, yada, yada. I really haven't played the game as much as I should have, though.
I started playing it a lot more in the last week, and I've got good reasons and bad reasons for that. Good reasons, because a friend of mine taught me this trick on how to farm equipment for your... What was that?
See, you and your amiibo farming...
See, it's good, because now I've unlocked a bunch of crap for my custom fighter, and I'm unlocking a lot of the moves for my characters. Plus, I'm getting a crap ton of trophies, and all it takes me is walking away for, like, 2 hours. And it's really fun
to
watch.
That's not playing the game. Okay, yeah, watching it is fun. I like watching the computers beat the crap out of each other. It's kind of... It's kind of interesting, the things that they can pull off on each other.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's really cool to watch things happen. And... Now, unfortunately, my Rosalina died.
Yeah, you never actually told me. How did that happen?
Fell off the pad while it was scanning. Now, normally you should be able to put it back on and say, oh, data has been corrupted. Would you like to restore? It then hit the pad, like I said, one in a million shot. Hit the pad of my other 3D, of my 3DS when it was open to its scanning pad. So the data was corrupted because it thought, oh, I'm going to be on the Wii U. Cool. Oh, shit, I'm going to be on the 3DS. Oh, fuck, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Data's corrupted. Cannot recover. She will not scan on any system.
Do they not have, like...
a reset? I mean,
yeah, like, most electronics will have, like, a little tiny button that you can usually push in with a pin to reset it. I'm not entirely sure how that works. Let me grab one of mine right now.
It basically works through this thing called near-field communication. Same technology that's in credit cards, debit cards, that sort of thing.
Come here, fucks.
But, yeah, I mean, ultimately, it's one of those motherfucker things that I'm really sad, so... anybody out there has a Rosalina at retail prices, I will very heavily consider buying from you. So feedback at thisweekingeek.net. I'm not paying scalpers. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I really hate the fact that, like, all of the amiibos have... yeah, I don't see anything on here for how to reset it. That sucks.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at my Fox here.
Which I managed to did find a fox, by the way. Thank you.
Which, what the hell? How come foxes suddenly become, like, rare and shit? Like,
fox was in the first wave. Although,
I know, he was so easy to find when I got him. And, like, now people are telling me that he's rare. And I'm like, okay, I'm glad I got fucking... like, literally, I wanted Marth. And he was, like, super rare. And I was like, you know what? I like Fox. Tiffany likes Kirby, I'll just buy them. And then suddenly, like, this is like 2 or 3 months later, and they're like, oh my god, your fox is rare. And I'm like, what? Like, he was the original run, and he was, like, so many of him everywhere. It's crazy.
Yeah,
Amiibos are still now.
Although Fox is shipping now, I think 2 per case in the newer wave, so that's how I got mine. I actually picked up mine through the source.ca. So I picked them up for retail, so thank God for that.
Have we talked about this on here, how, like, if Nintendo put up a website where they would actually manufacture one, like, any one of the ones that you wanted for, like, an additional $10 or something, like, $25, and they'd send it to you, like, they'd make it on the spot, that we would totally be down for that?
Oh, abso-friggin-lutely. 'Cause,
like... I really want some more amiibos, but in my area, there is just so many scalpers.
Yep.
And they all get bought out literally within an hour.
Yep.
So it really sucks.
I've been willing to drive to your area to find me a Shulk and a Lucario. Good luck. Although, before we get back to 3DS talk, I actually had an ex-girlfriend who still remained a good friend of mine. She got me a Lucario. I love
Lottie fucking Dodd, Mr. Dodd, with his nice amiibo collection. Oh, I got 3. Screw you.
I'm only missing, like, the Holy Trinity and, like, Pit and Little Mac now and Meta Knight. Everybody else I've got.
Eh. That being said, I do know somebody that has, like, 4 Shulks, and they're trading them, but not for amiibos because they've, like, finished their amiibo collection. And I was like, what do you want? My arm? My leg? My liver? Like,
we'll talk off air. I really want to sell.
I don't think he's going to... like, he is in the collector community, so he probably wants, like, a freaking, like, an Earthbound or something. Like,
no.
I don't know.
No. All right, he wants an Earthbound. I'll give him a download code for one, sure.
Yeah, really. Fuck anyway, you. Back to the 3DS, so... before, like, I always thought the system was really good. Like, the PS Vita has a lot more power, has better graphics, everything like that, but it's always just been a lot more quaint than the Vita.
Well, that and one more thing that the Vita has over the 3DS.
Okay.
Or not really has. The Vita's dead. Nobody cares. Yet when a 3DS game comes out, people care.
This is true.
Yeah, nobody cares. And that sucks. I love my Vita. No one talks about it.
The Vita is suffering from the same thing the PSP had. It has really good games, but only niche people like them. A lot of them are RPGs, and it's a fantastic system. Like, it's a really powerful handheld console, and it has some really good games. It's just they're not the kind of games that are as, like, super crazy popular for the masses like the 3DS has. Like the Marios and the Zeldas and the Pokemon and all that fun, crazy stuff. So that being said, the things that I don't like about the 3DS, and I've learned this because of Monster Hunter and because I've played the games way too long because I'm addicted to, you know, the grind. Which, by the way, I'm almost to G rank, which is the highest rank for anybody that knows Monster Hunter. They know what I'm talking about. After I reach that, I can probably consider myself, you know, at least somewhat done with the game, so I can put the review out. Because after Bravely Default's review, I will never not finish a game 100% before doing a review. Because I don't want to find something that just pisses me off entirely after I've done the review and be like, oh, well, I lied. So, very close to being done. 140 hours in it. 140 hours, Dodd. I haven't slept.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway, so the console is actually, like, when you hold it in your hands, I have a 3DS XL. Not the new 3DS, not the original 3DS. It's a 3DS XL. So I love the size of the screen with the XL. It's much larger than the normal. And, I mean, I don't know how anyone would play with the normal, because this feels like the proper size to me. When you're holding it, it feels good. But as soon as you're holding it for more than 4 hours, which a lot of hardcore gamers will play a game for more than 4 hours, most sane people won't. So it doesn't bother them. But if you actually feel that, like, the ergonomics to it, because it's flat, the bottom half of it, it doesn't really give your hands the proper, like, you don't hold it properly like you would a controller, like a 360, Xbox One, PS3 or PS4 controller. So your hands, the muscles in your palm are actually being strained, and you don't notice it until you're, like, past the 4 hour mark. So the actual tendons in my left hand and some of the muscle groups are actually damaged right now from me playing it so much because of the way the thumbstick is compared to using, like, one of the classic controllers. Because it's sitting right in the center of your palm with the one corner of it, and your thumb is propped in a different position than any other thumbstick would be. So it's really bad for you. Like, I mean, most sane people won't play that long, so you would never notice this, but it is actually, like, really ergonomically bad for you.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I never even knew about it until I had played this long. Like, it's poking right in the center of your palm, and it pushes on the one muscle, and the way that the thumbstick is, like, when I first got my 3DS, I was like, that's kind of not as comfortable as a controller, but it never bothered me until now. And not to mention the actual weight of it, like, it's a little bit heavier than a regular controller would be. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're playing and you don't have your hands, like, on a table or something, like, you're trying to lay back in a bed, on a couch, anything like that, the subtle weight that is there is actually really kind of, it weighs down your wrists. So it's over, once again, like, 14 hours straight. That can start to cause your wrists to hurt as well. I mean, most people would be like, Jamie, you have a problem. You might want to stop playing these games for so long, but
they do stop.
See, I'm coming from the standpoint of I'm a hardcore gamer that plays games for long periods of time. I may, you know, take a week where I don't play any games, or multiple days where I don't play any games, but when I'm playing them, I play them for long periods of time. Usually, like, I would just say, well, it doesn't really matter because most people wouldn't do it this way. But I'm comparing it to every other console. mm-hmm. like PS3 and the Xbox, all those kind of controllers. I just knocked my headset off.
Nice.
There we go. none of those would ever hurt me if I was playing for that amount of time. This is the first time that I've ever actually put down video gaming because I was in pain. And that's not a good thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, I encountered finger lockup while playing Street Fighter for a long time.
Well, see, that comes down to actual just Street Fighter, the way that you're using your thumbs and everything so fast. But
like, well, even with like Smash Brothers too, I found my hands would eventually lock up after all, just because it's the way you have to it's the way you have to hold it. That's a little bit uncomfortable because now the system is so big.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit uncomfortable. It's also a little bit more awkward playing Star Fox now, but I'm willing to trade off a little bit of physical discomfort for having it look better.
I guess. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad console. I'm just saying there is slight things about that would be better. I've seen online there's attachments that are like Japanese attachments to actually make it more like a controller when you're holding it, which I don't know how well those work or anything. And the other thing that really annoys me is the fact that they weren't built with a Circle Pad Pro built into them. Like, there's no reason not to have a second thumbstick. And even when you put on a Circle Pad Pro, which I don't have one, I've just looked at how they are whenever you put it on. That just would not feel natural to me at all, having that thumbstick way out there on the other side of your buttons. You have a new 3DS. How is that C nub, I think they're calling it?
You know what? It feels weird.
Does it?
It doesn't. It has like no give to it. So it's the best way to compare it to would be, have you ever used a mouse on an old school laptop?
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
Ugh.
It's awkward, but it's functional for what it is. I don't use it in Smash because I've trained myself to learn the other way.
Yeah.
So, whatever. But it works fine for Monster Hunter and for Majora's Mask and whatnot.
Oh, I can imagine that it would be fantastic for Monster Hunter, especially if you are one of the ranged classes, as I generally play one of the ranged classes or the new Glaive user. Being able to move your camera around with that nub rather than the D-pad, that would be fantastic, because then you could actually move and aim. But, yeah. Other than, like, for control-wise, I don't think there's been any game, like, even Monster Hunter, with that kind of a handicap there, there hasn't been any games that I've really felt the controls were ever bad with the 3DS, though. Like, the touchpad, most of the really good games that I've played, they integrate the touchpad to be something that's optional. It'll enrich the experience rather than being like, I'm forcing you to use this. An example of that would be Kid Icarus Uprising, where if you don't have a circle pad, you are forced to use it. And it really, like, your hand is just all crinkled up and you're, like, trying to do 30 things at once. That game needs a circle pad, which I believe it actually came with it if it was the original release of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they knew. They were like, oh man, we need a circle pad with this. I think Revelations had it as well, or yes. Yeah,
Revelations, and I think the Mercenaries needed it, and it's the only real way to play Metal Gear Solid with it either. I can't remember how I got my circle pad, but I got sent one. I think they sent it to me for Kid Icarus, I think. Although it feels different on your 3DS, but once you get used to it, it's like you can't picture it without it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But when you play games with it now, it detects it as a circle pad, which is kind of weird, but anyway.
Interesting. Some of the other really good points about the 3DS, even though it's like so portable like this, I find the battery charge is really good. Like, it usually is between like 4 and 8 hours, depending on what you're playing, how high you have the volume. This is the original 3DS.
Yeah.
the 3D function. I'm not sure how the new 3DS is.
Really good.
Yeah, I've heard good things, and everything that I experienced from using yours whenever we were testing kind of the difference, it really is that much better. It's just, as I've said previously, it really comes down to if you already have a 3DS and you're hard up for money, you don't require that upgrade. But if you're going to buy a 3DS, you should just go with the new one because the new one's just that much better. That there's no reason to like save $50 to go with the old one. You may as well spend that $50. It's a little bit harder whenever you're like, hey, I'm gonna fork out all of the money to just get the new one, and my old one's gonna go sit and gather dust. that I don't entirely recommend. I'm sticking with my old 3DS at least until something comes out and is like, you require a new 3DS, and it's something that I really want to play. That being said, some games are utilizing the fact that the new 3DS has a better processor. I have heard, I have not tested it or looked in any way, shape, or form, but I've heard that Monster Hunter actually increases the resolution of the game on the new 3DS, as well as, you know, the nub helping a lot. And there is going to be games, I think the, what is it called? The game that Shulk's from.
Xenoblade Chronicles?
Yeah, the new Xenoblade Chronicles, I think, is going to be new 3DS exclusive.
Yes, it is. It's going to be one of the few games that will be.
It's going to require that extra processor speed, so that might be a reason to buy one. I mean, I know Xenoblade Chronicles is like a really, really good RPG on the Wii, and it became a huge collectible as well because there was a limited run. It was an EB Games exclusive. I'm not sure if this one will be as well on the 3DS, but it probably not. It's gotten too big now. Like, it's part of Smash Bros. Now, so it's too big to.
Well,
to
that just be and the like, fact
hey, it's exclusive.
They wouldn't release a brand new piece of hardware if they didn't intend for there to be more games this year.
Yeah.
So
I mean. So that being said, like, the differences between like the 3DS and the new 3DS, you got the processing speed, which is noticeable. It's actually noticeable whenever you have both of them and you try to load things. You've got certain games that utilize it to have better graphics, etc. The nub you get, which is basically like another thumbstick, extra buttons, yay. The motion tracking for your eyes to make the 3D an actual enjoyable experience rather than make your eyes bleed. That was very noticeable on specific games. From day one, I turn on the 3D at every cutscene, at every portion of any game to just see if it's working and looks good. The original 3DS, I'm not a fan of it. Like, I turn it off 99.9% of the time.
Well, that's one of the things that the new 3DS has going for. Go back and play games you wanted to see in 3D with the new head tracking 3D. It's like a brand new experience.
It really is. Like, when I played that Turtles game at your place on your new 3DS, and that is something I still hate Nintendo for. Why call it the new 3DS? Just call it the Super 3DS or something like that. Like, I've already had like five different conversations where we were uncertain if the person was talking about a new 3DS or a new 3DS. And it's just like, oh, you bought a new 3DS, huh? Is it a new one or just a new one? Yeah. Why, Nintendo? Why? Why couldn't you just call it the Super 3DS? I mean, what's wrong with the word super? You did Super Nintendo. It was awesome. Just call it the Super 3DS. I would totally buy one if it was a Super 3DS because it's super, man. It's like the Extreme 3DS. Everybody would want an Extreme 3DS. Just saying.
Just shaking my head at you, man.
I don't know about the new 3DS on this, but the original 3DS has a fantastic Wi-Fi for doing Street Pass. Which is basically peer-to-peer. If you find another 3DS in your area, it's going to basically pass the information between the two saying, hey, I have that game as well. Have my friend code or have a character from my game. Like, that is a really great function, and Like, it always works. It promotes gamers taking their 3DS with them. The actual wireless connecting to the internet from my network, I don't know if it's just my network is that good, but I've never had any issues with the Wi-Fi on the internet. Any game that uses it, like Fire Emblem, Monster Hunter 4 is fantastic. I've very rarely ever had any lag. The only times that I have had it, I'll be playing with a friend and he's like, yeah, my brother's downloading something on his Xbox and it's taking all the bandwidth. And then you see him start skipping around. It's like, well, that's because his internet's really bad. Like, I've had very few problems with any of the wireless functions on them.
I had problems with my initial 3DS using the Wi-Fi across my apartment. But with my new 3DS, I'm not finding I have that issue now.
So it is a bit better then?
I would argue yes. Now, it could just be because there's more power to it. It's putting more power towards the Wi-Fi. So, I don't know. I mean, there's nothing about the new 3DS other than some minor discomfort every now and again that I can really even kind of say.
Trying to think if there's any other bad things about the 3DS that I have not enjoyed.
I do like how they're giving you the option now that you can replace the battery.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm actually I actually had a company contact me in regards to it. So I should have a new battery for my new 3DS in like the next couple days, actually.
Huh. Why would you already need a new battery for the new 3DS?
So I want to see if it's better.
Oh, okay. So it's just a larger capacity.
Yes.
Interesting. And they're sanctioned by Nintendo or not?
I don't know. Well, then again, how many peripherals are really licensed? Well, then again, I guess they'd have to be, in a sense.
Not necessarily.
I don't know how that works. Well, like, I don't know how that kind of stuff works. I mean, I'm sure there's some kind of legalese around it, so.
Possibly.
But anyway. I guess closing thoughts on the 3DS.
I think it's definitely worth the price. Like, every step of its price has been worth it. I mean, it original price, I think, was like $350 or something. That wasn't the best price. They've gotten it down to like a comfortable $200 to $300 depending on which one you're getting. They have all kinds of really cool collector's versions where they put some really nice artwork on them. The new 3DS, how much do they run in Canada right now?
I think $100 and something.
No. A new 3DS?
I don't think they're that expensive anymore.
Hold on.
Let's go to eGames.ca. Let's see what they say. That's right, folks, in real time.
In real time, we're going to find out the actual price of a new 3DS in Canada. Let's see, new 3DS. Watch, it'll pop up with regular 3DS, just new.
I'm trying
to. New Nintendo 3DS XL is $229.
So not that bad.
Yeah, $230 for the new 3DS with the better processor, everything like that. That is a really good price for this kind of console. It's decently powerful. It's got some really good games out now. I mean, originally it had a horrible launch, but what console doesn't? There is a large library of good games to play. And it's portable, so anywhere you take it. I mean, if you're like me and you're the guy that drives, you don't get to play it while you're driving. But if you go to a convention or anything like that, if you don't take your 3DS, like, what are you doing? Because those are all the people that are going to street pass with you, and you're going to get all kinds of bonuses for all your mini games within the actual 3DS. Like, there's the Street Pass mini games and stuff like that.
That is my favorite, actually. Street Passing, when I had my first 3DS, it was just before PAX. PAX East of that year. Taking that thing to PAX was so retarded fun. In fact, my 3DS kept dying about every 45 minutes. Because that's how often our street pass, because you can think you can do up to 10 street passes at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting so many cool people. I think I even had a couple of famous people at like one point, actually.
And it's not like it doesn't say you can't, you know, street pass these people because they're too famous. It's if they street pass you, like they walk past you in whatever vicinity it is of the wireless of it, you're going to get that person. And then you're like, hey, cool. Like I got these people on my 3DS. They're now part of my mini games. You got a little puzzles. You got a little adventure mode. And that's all just built in the 3DS. But then each game has its own street pass ability. So like certain games will give you characters from that person's game, like if they have a specific customized character. So example, in Monster Hunter, you can get the Palico sidekicks. You can get specific maps and hunts and stuff like that. In like Fire Emblem Awakening, you could actually get their characters. So like their main character that they made and customized, they can actually have that sent to you. So you'll have multiple of that super overpowered character. Every game has its own thing that it does with Street Pass, whether it's just an item or something cool or an overpowered ass character. So it really, really brings the community together whenever you go to like a convention with your 3DS. Or even just walking down the street, you never know. You might street pass somebody that's on a bus that freaking flies past you. And it's just one of those things where in our kind of culture, it's not as big, but it's still there. I mean, in Japan, I'm sure they probably have street passes just happening constantly. Because a lot of them probably have a 3DS on them and they're walking around because they do a lot more walk travel than us. In Canada here, it's quite a long ways to travel anywhere. But at conventions, like, it's an amazing little device to have, especially with Pokemon tournaments and stuff like that happening. My finishing thoughts is if you don't have a 3DS and you've been on the edge of getting one, definitely go and buy a new 3DS. If you have the old one, I don't really say that you have to get a new one, but definitely check out any of the games that we've talked about, because almost every single one is going to be a really good time. Mm-hmm. And you can't usually say that on many consoles. Like they usually have like their nice gems and stuff, but with the 3DS, there's just so many of them. And they're all really great long experiences that you can just sit on the couch and play while other people are using either a console or the TV or whatever. And like, it won't interrupt you. if you live alone, then, you know, you can play two games at once, play the 3DS and your Xbox. Yay. Multitasking.
Yeah. I love my new 3DS. I mean, I can't recommend it enough. I mean, if you have a launch 3DS, I'd say now is a really good time to upgrade, but I'd maybe wait till a little closer to E3, see if there's new bundles coming out for it, because there's the Monster Hunter bundle, there's the Majora's Mask, which good luck finding that one, and I'd be curious to see if there'll be other stuff.
I really want to have like some of the bundles that are from Japan come over here. Oh, they get so many cool looking design consoles, and they never come over here.
Yeah.
It sucks because they're always region locked too, so you can't like just order one and play.
Yeah, it's just that's just the way it is, I guess.
Companies are mean to us, man.
They're very mean to us.
So anyway, I'm gonna go back to hunting dragons.
I'm gonna go shoot stuff in COD. So
what God, you're such a dude, bro. Now
I know, right? All I need is my sandals and my cargo shorts. The next time on the show, what are we gonna be talking about?
Let me pull up the list real quick here. What do we got? We've got, I believe we were going to do Sega next. We haven't actually done a Sega-centric episode. And I'd really like to kind of jump into the world that is Sega, especially since I think they recently announced that they 100% are done with consoles. They're just going to be a development kind of studio where it's all going to be content, software, stuff like that. They've been heavily pairing with Nintendo lately, which, I mean, if you're an old school gamer, you never would have thought of the day where that would happen.
Exactly. So that's what we'll talk about next week. I am still experimenting with putting this on YouTube. It won't be for this episode, but maybe we'll try for next week. And when I have a little bit more time to put my computer through its paces. But so next week, hopefully we'll start putting the shows up on my personal YouTube channel. And we'll see how things go over there. So if you want to listen to us on YouTube, you can do that. So anyway, so for the prototype, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd.
And before we actually sign out, don't forget to like us on Facebook, facebook.com/the_prototype. We'll put the link in the description. Also, send feedback to feedback@thisweekingeek. And what's our number?
817-717-7212. So that's feedback@thisweekingeek.net if you want to send us email.
So he's been Dodd, and I have been Jamie J.J. Johnston saying, Monster Hunter stole my life. Bum 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 b